The Rush continues with Jay Michaels and special guest co-host Tamara Cherry on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Oh, you know we got to get to that in a second. The 468-minute documentary on the making of the Beatles, Let It Be. The wonderful laugh you hear in the background is the host of CTV's Pop Life, News Talk 1010 contributor, and host of Last Call with Richard Krause, the podcast. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. You know what? Let's jump right into the Beatles stuff, because I would not want us to run out of time and not be able to get to it. When I describe that to people, about they're like, what's the deal with the Get Back? I'm like, well, the Beatles had 73 hours worth of footage, and nobody thought they could make a movie out of it. So the director of The Lord of the Rings was like, hold my beer.
And that's basically what happened. It's Peter Jackson, of course, directed Lord of the Rings. So my wife is calling the Beatles Get Back Lord of the Ringos, which I think is fantastic.
That is great too, yeah.
But it's 468 minutes. So this footage was originally used, some of it, for a 90-minute film in 1970 directed by Michael Lindsay Hogg called Let It Be. And if you remember that movie, it was kind of dark looking. The footage itself looked kind of dark and grainy. The sound wasn't great. And it was the footage that gave birth to a lot of Beatles folklore about how the Beatles broke up because of Paul McCartney's ego, or because Yoko Ono was there getting in the way, or that Alan Klein, their manager, was using too aggressive business tactics and they didn't like that and it split them apart, or that George was feeling underappreciated. What this movie does is take all that footage, all 468 minutes of it, clean it up so it is sparkling. It looks like it was shot yesterday. The sound's amazing, but you also get a much different take on this. So a lot of this Beatles history that we think that we know turns out that maybe not so much. Yoko is not a disruptive force here in the studio. She's there, absolutely, but she's not a disruptive force. What you see are four musicians who just 6 weeks before they sat down for these sessions wrote and recorded and finished recording the White Album. 30 new songs, put that out. 6 weeks later, they give themselves a two-week deadline to write another album. And then at the end of that, they're going to do some kind of live television show, or there was a special of some sort being planned for them. And so in 2 weeks, they sat down and they wrote Get Back, Let It Be. Well, in fact, they wrote most of Abbey Road, a good chunk of Let It Be, and then songs that ended up being on John Lennon and George Harrison's solo album.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
It's unreal.
Mm-hmm. And so what you have here is a look at four guys who were a bit frayed around the edges. They are probably the four most certainly famous musicians on Earth at that time, four of the most famous people on Earth at that time. And the cracks are beginning to show a little bit. But when they start playing music, boy, do you ever feel it. Like, and I got goosebumps watching this at like minute 300 or something.
Wow.
John Lennon and George Harrison are sitting around in the background. They're smoking and talking. And Paul just sits at the piano and he's noodling around and discovers the first few chords of Let It Be.
Wow.
And he goes, oh, and you can see on his face, like, oh, that works. And then it moves on from there. It's a remarkable document about how music is made. It is long. There are moments when it is kind of tedious. I'm calling it a hangout movie. You have it on, and then when you hear a song you like, or when you hear them talking a lot, you probably want to snap back to attention and stop dusting or making a sandwich or whatever else you're doing in the background.
Sleeping. Because my husband sleeps.
but there are some amazing things. And when they whisper a few times. When they start whispering, pay attention, because that's where the good stuff
is.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Okay. The other one I'm really excited about is House of Gucci. I was texting my sister last night, telling her to watch the trailer to see if she wants to go with me or if my husband and I should get a babysitter. Is it worth the babysitter money?
It's worth the babysitter money. I liked this movie. It's getting kind of mixed reviews, but for me, it's a soap opera. It is the story of the interworkings of the Gucci family, the high-end luxury brand run by the Gucci family up until the 90s. The Guccis are no longer involved. But it is a story of betrayal and murder and like love affairs. And it's a wild story. And Lady Gaga, who plays the wife of one of the sons of one of the owners, played by Adam Driver, she's tremendous in this, because she starts off in one place, kind of, you know, a woman who is self-sufficient. She's, you know, she's loving her life. And then she gets involved in the Gucci family and sees a much larger future for herself and pushes in ways that make life uncomfortable for a lot of people. And it is a remarkable performance, I think. On the flip side, you have Jared Leto playing Paolo Gucci, one of the cousins. If he doesn't get a letter from the Italian Defamation League after this performance, I will be surprised. It is, to say the least, heightened.
Oh,
really?
Heightened is a really good word. A really good word to use. Hey, Richard, let's jump into our booze portion of the booze and reviews. The Rob Roy. When I think of the Rob Roy, I think of like Mad Men. I think of like guys with slicked back, brill cream hair, and really nice suits. Maybe ad agency type guys.
Yeah, totally. This drink dates back further than that, though. So it actually starts, the story kind of begins in 1671 with the birth of Rob Roy. He was a Scottish rebellion leader. He was a cattle thief. He was an outlaw. He was a bandit. He's the Scottish Robin Hood, and he is a folk hero in Scotland. There's been a ton of stories, and there was a movie with Liam Neeson, which had very little to do with real life, but it was a big epic that did well. A number of years ago. In 1894, though, there was an operetta on Broadway called Rob Roy, and it was about his exploits. And I love the title of the review in the New York Times is Rob Roy, a good operetta. That's it. That's what they said. It's not a rave, but apparently it was okay. It was just good enough. But at the time, it was very trendy to name cocktails after shows that were on Broadway. There had been a Broadway show called Manhattan, so they named the drink Manhattan, which a lot of people still drink today, after that. So a bartender at the Waldorf Astoria came up with the idea of a Manhattan and then riffed on it to make the Rob Roy. So instead of using rye, he used scotch. He made it a Scottish drink, and you can have one in any one of three ways. They can be sweet, dry, or perfect. A sweet Rob Roy is 1.5 ounces of Scotch whiskey, 1/4 ounce of vermouth, some Angostura bitters, and a maraschino cherry for a garnish. If you want it dry, you use just like a white vermouth, and that just cuts the sweetness. Or if it's perfect, you make it with Scotch and then equal parts of sweet and dry vermouth. And that gives you a little less sweet, but just enough to know what you're drinking, make you feel what you're drinking.
All right. Listen, Rich, we got about a minute left. Let's talk about the event you're doing at the Duke, not this weekend, but next weekend.
Yeah. So December 4th, I'm going to be at the Duke on Queen Street East, and we're going to raise money for a charity called Abuse Hurts. We're raising toys where people will bring toys. We're raising money. There'll be karaoke. And I'm going to be, and I use this word in quotation marks, the celebrity bartender. I haven't been behind a bar in 20 years or more than that.
Are you going to make a Rob Roy?
I might just make a, if you come by all the way from Saskatchewan, I will make you a Rob Roy.
As a former Toronto Sun employee, I have spent many a night at the Duke, and I love that charity Abuse Hurts. I love that you're supporting both of those places.
And last year, they raised $12,000 worth of toys and money. And that was during COVID, when it was much more difficult to actually throw this event. So I'll be there from about 3:30 till 7:30 or so. I will bartend, just order draft, people. Just make it easy on me.
I'm bringing my blender. I want to go back to Mr. Green Jeans times.
I remember how to pour drafts. I'm not sure that I can remember a lot of other stuff, but it'll be super fun, and we hope to raise a whole lot of money.
Love it. Bravo. Richard Krause, CTV's Pop Life, as well as the Richard Krause podcast, Last Call with Richard Krause. You can find it on iHeart. Have a great weekend, Richard.
Thanks. You too, guys.
Thanks, Rich.